Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
So we put all these bump outs and other things, these traffic calming measures, and now the thing doesn't drain right. Because the street sweepers can't get in there and clear out all the crud, so that gets caught in the storm drains and they don't drain.
Solving a problem and creating another one.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday morning. Text WATCH to 855-616-1620 if you want to join us on our live stream. And remember, we podcast everything on the show. Greg Pancake Kill does a great job as producer of the program to put everything up online that we've talked about today. So if you want to listen to any portion of the show you may have missed, you can do that wherever you get your podcasts. A couple of stories I want to add some extra perspective to this morning out of Madison. We'll get to the renewed recall effort against Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in a moment. Racine recall peeps say, trust us, this time we've got the signatures. You and I have gone back and forth on how much coverage to bring this. On the one hand, it's happening.
Right, and it is the Assembly Speaker.
And they continue this effort. On the other hand, the last time we saw this movie ended embarrassingly at best for this recall group that claimed it had all these signatures, and then many of them turned out to be from outstate Wisconsin and other things, and perhaps achieved by unscrupulous means, as was alleged. So more on that in a moment. But first, a little bit more perspective on what's going on in court with Act 10. We had this story in the top of the hour news. This was widely predicted. Conservatives warned that everything from the Governor Scott Walker administration was going to be relitigated if voters allowed the state Supreme Court to flip from conservative to a liberal majority. If you didn't believe it, it is starting to happen. Act 10, governor's signature piece of legislation, right out of the gate when he began his first term in 2011. In fact, I still remember the day when Charlie Sykes walked down the hall. This was back when we were all in the same building there. Mm-hmm. I'm at 4 and Sykes was doing his morning show. And he says, This thing is going to be a big deal, this union thing. I hadn't even heard about it at that point, but he obviously was having people prepping him for what was to come. Yep. This is going to be a big deal. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll make a note of it. Okay. Blew up the state, right? The act stripped most collective bargaining powers from public employee unions in Wisconsin. The precipitated massive protests then at the Capitol. Senate Democrats fled the state, tried to block the legislation from being enacted. After it passed, you had legal challenge to the law that ultimately failed. That's a really quick explanation of what went down there. Now the plaintiffs in this case, public employees, suing once again, starting the process in Dane County Court, which is entirely likely to end up on appeal at the state Supreme Court. What are the arguments? TMJ4 News in court in Madison Tuesday.
They don't provide any explanation for why the categories were constructed in the way they were, presumably because there is no plausible explanation.
That's attorney for the plaintiffs. So the public workers, Jacob Carabel there is the attorney. Point they're going to focus on is that while most public employees lost those collective bargaining powers, Governor Walker excluded police and fire unions. Remember, famously infamously, depending on how you look at it, from that. So they remained status quo while teachers or custodians or DPW workers or what have you bore the brunt of all of the changes. So what the plaintiffs are going to argue here is that makes the law unconstitutional. Keep that in mind. Unconstitutional. We'll clarify in a moment. First, the rebuttal here to that. Steve Kilpatrick, attorney for the Republican-led state legislature, said it was entirely within the legislature's power to create these different rules or different classes for public employees.
The legislature, in crafting Act 10, decided that it was going to give robust collective bargaining rights to a certain amount, certain job classifications. To those job classifications, it decided that it could not live without if the work stoppage occurred.
So the argument at the time was Governor Walker was concerned that there would be job action, that public employees weren't going to be real happy about this, and that there might perhaps be strikes or sick outs, the latter of which we certainly saw among teachers in particular, many of whom ended up protesting at the Capitol during that spring of 2011. So Governor Walker exempted public safety unions from the new rules. So firefighters and police got to do their thing, as always was,
right,
and then created this new category. Here's the thing to keep in mind as this continues to move forward. The courts, once again, are not being asked whether Act 10 was a good idea. Maybe 13 years out, you don't think Act 10 made the state stronger or that it was bad for education or whatever your argument. A separate question entirely as to whether or not the governor and the legislature had the authority to draw up the rules as they did. Many a law can be passed that even if you don't like it, doesn't mean it's not constitutional. Mm-hmm. I think of like marijuana, for example. Widely popular view is that we ought to, at the very least in Wisconsin, have medical marijuana. Nonetheless, there's a law in the books that says it isn't. It doesn't mean it's unconstitutional. It might be unpopular, but it's not unconstitutional. So that is ultimately the question now before the judge in Dane County, who will rule, who will be appealed. Appellate court will rule and will be appealed regardless of which way it turns, right?
It'll go to the state Supreme Court.
Barring the unforeseen, that's where it ends up. The court now leans 4-3 to the liberal side. We did have that little side note, and there is some conversation about Justice Protasiewicz, who was that swing vote elected last spring.
Oh, she could recuse herself from this case.
At least indicated she would consider that. Now, she's going to be under tremendous pressure from the left, who got her elected, to not recuse herself in this case, because she would be the swing vote. High Court, if everything plays out as people would expect, would then rule 4-3 to overturn Act 10. Without her, you got a 3-3 and things remain status quo. Again, you can predict this because the court has made itself predictable in this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be nonpartisan, but that's how it would set up. So that's where we are with that and why it's back in the news once again. Also mentioned the Voss recall quickly here, the same group that tried to unsuccessfully to force that recall election for the Assembly Speaker, whom I will point out again, with the rest of the assembly, is up for re-election in a matter of months.
Yeah, it's almost June.
Right? They're trying again to force a recall, even though Voss is but a few months before the primary. One of the reasons he continues to argue this is a distraction and a waste of time and resources. Nonetheless, Speaker has a lot of enemies on the far right. Former President Trump crowd here in Wisconsin wanted Voss to continue to push to decertify the 2020 election results, wanted him to be more forceful in efforts to oust the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. They are moving forward with this new batch of signatures. Last time around, Voss's people even alleging fraud. As many of those signatures, as I indicated, came from outstate. They weren't in the district. Questions about the process and gathering those petitions as well. Even had someone text us yesterday saying, yeah, I was approached over the holiday weekend here to sign one of these things and didn't care for how I was being spoken to. I didn't feel like the person asking me to sign this was being upfront with the motivations here. So some of those allegations still floating around this time around. But here's how it goes now. Speaker Voss has 10 days to officially challenge the petition. As well, the State Elections Commission still has to determine whether or not there are enough valid signatures.
It could throw it out. It could say, yeah, there's not enough here.
Challenge or otherwise. They say they've got 9,000. They need just short of 7,000. So we'll see.
Why do this now? Already been through this once. Why do it now, knowing that little to no work is being done in Madison, really, or at least nothing of significance at the moment, right?
Right.
Why not just run in November if you want to challenge somebody?
Because it's not about that, right? Not about Voss or what would come in the next several months or any of that. It's about somewhat of a vendetta and, secondly, getting on the radar.
Yeah, right? And you wonder that. You wonder whether or not, you said it, get on the radar of the former president. So if former President Trump wins the election, will he then have these people on his radar to maybe get a job or something? Is that what this is? Is this running for
attention?
They will
be in his favor.
Yes. Running for attention so you can maybe get a job or at least be thought of kindly, in which case you can
get a friendly tweet,
reap the benefits from that.
Joe Branchon's doing a great job. Yeah, patriot there in Wisconsin. I mean, whatever.
And maybe that leads to something down the road. It seems like that's what this is.
So the clock ticking on that recall effort again. Speaker Voss has 10 days to officially challenge the petitions. 8:22 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Boy, have we got a lot of rain. It is. We are waterlogged.
Gah.
Wet.
What, a couple of inches in some spots yesterday?
Yeah, drying out today, as we've talked about, meteorologist Tyler Moore, looks like at least 3 days here where we have no rain in the forecast. How much rain Tuesday? Storm Team 4 Chief Meteorologist Brian Znansky.
Impressive downpours. Wauwatosa, nearly 2 inches of rain. Officially at Milwaukee Mitchell, 1.9 inches of rainfall. Less rain farther inland and far north and south.
Kenosha, 1.8 inches. Cedarburg was over an inch, but on the lower side there, up on the North Shore, as Niz indicated, north of the city and west of the city, not as much. But kind of spotty totals, maybe even a little bit more here as some of those showers lingered into overnight. There was some hail in spots, as Niz predicted. Not widespread, but mostly this was just a heavy rain event.
Yeah, just super scattered. Some areas got hit hard, others hardly at all.
You said your wife was downtown yesterday.
Yeah, so my daughter and I were out working in the yard, and she called just to check in on stuff, and just, oh my God, it's like she's driving through this, you know, storm. I'm like, oh, the birds are chirping by us.
Just no kidding.
Nice afternoon.
What are you talking about? It's pouring here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of those, like, I guess you would call them popcorn, you know, like bubble up. Niz said it's all like instability in the atmosphere. Did have some localized flash flooding as well. Some of the construction zone on the Southern Bypass, especially in those construction zones where things aren't built to drain as you would expect because they're doing the work there, that can be problematic. Stadium Freeway was super wet. Some ponding there, and then city streets. Here's Mike Biermeister from TMJ4 News.
Near 73rd and Capitol, Department of Public Works staff out clearing drains filled with trash and grass clippings. The worker telling us she was clearing her fifth drain of the night.
Ever since the bump out has been put in, the street sweepers are not able to really come and hit the curb.
Yeah, pick your spot. But she was cleaning out these drains that... Did you catch something there, though?
Yeah, I knew right when I heard it.
Since the bump outs.
Yep.
So we put all these bump outs and other things, these traffic calming measures, and now the thing doesn't drain right. Because the street sweepers can't get in there and clear out all the crud, so that gets caught in the storm drains, and they don't drain.
Solving a problem and creating another one.
Nonetheless, I mean, I guess we could just pick up our trash in this town and keep that from going in the drain. Sometimes, you know, yard waste gets caught in there and whatever.
Things,
but once they got those cleared out, a lot of that ponding on the roadways was able to be mitigated. Check the MMSD situation. Every time we get days of rain like that, you start to wonder. Deep tunnel fills up and
we're dumping
sewage. Right now, sewage treatment plants are holding, and there is room in the deep tunnel to spare. So no Lake Michigan dumping. Could use a few dry days here, though, huh?
That would be nice.
Looks like we're going to get them.
My gosh.
8:29 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Wisconsin's Morning News at 8:38. Remember when we were talking about how do you fix the movies and what do you do to get people back to the movie
theater? Into the theater, yeah.
Yeah, because we had a really bad box office for Memorial Day weekend, which is typically the start of the summer movie season.
What did you say? It was worst in 30 years?
Worst in 30 years.
Worst turnout?
Yeah, worst turnout as far as how much money was made, inflation, all that stuff included into that. So it's been 30 years since it's been this bad. We had Matt Miller from OnMilwaukee.com on earlier on the program to walk through some of it. And one of the points he did make was, hey, by the way, a lot of the superstars aren't in the movies right now because of the actor strike. So we're still kind of getting the ripple effect from that big strike and the writer strike and all that stuff. But I did ask him, well, like, why are the younger generations not going to the movies? And you and I both raised our eyebrows at his response. Does Gen Z go and see movies? I can't tell you the last time any of my children came up to me and said, hey, can you take me to a movie?
They do. They see movies differently. You know, the famous quote is, you know, we used to go to the movies. Now people go to a movie. They want to see a particular movie. So, you know, Dune did great. Dune was seen by multiple generations. I mean, Barbie and Oppenheimer just last year did massive across all generations, including Gen Z. The Super Mario Brothers movie did really well amongst Gen Z. Five Nights at Freddy's last year did incredibly around Gen Z. I think they would like their own franchises, too, you know? How many retreads of old franchises from the 80s and 70s and 90s are we going to give them? Why don't we give kids new franchises? There's a reason why Despicable Me and those movies do really well, and it's because that generation grew up with those movies. That's their franchise.
I think that's interesting. I mean, why it stood out to both of us is as Gen Xers, like you thought about what did you do with your friends when you were in middle school, high school, you know, like Friday's coming up, you know, who's hanging out? All right, what do you want to do? I don't know, we can do this.
Go to the movies?
Go to a movie. Yeah, I guess. Okay. And so you decided this is what we're doing. Then you got the paper.
Then you had to find the movie, right?
See what's showing at Mayfair.
I love that page.
In the two-hole cinema. The two-screen cinema separate from the mall when we were kids. Or let's go to North Shore or South Shore or West Point.
Whereas nowadays, and I take it back, I suppose. My 12-year-old did want to see the Barbie movie. She took her friends to that for her birthday party.
Right, but she wanted to see that movie.
It was that movie.
Right.
Yes, I want to go see Barbie. It wasn't, hey, my birthday party, I want to go take my friends to a movie. You're right.
Someone did text, too, about the affordability of movies that came in earlier.
It can be a bit pricey at times.
Yeah. Where is that text? I wanted to read it. Movies have also gotten crazy expensive to attend, so you just don't go anymore. Good time to bring up Marcus Theaters here, based locally. They do have the Value Tuesdays, which are if you're a magical like awards member or whatever. You got the Marcus app and you're in the rewards club. Tickets are $6, even for the blockbusters.
There is something.
And they discount a lot of the concessions as well.
There is something to the simplicity and the quickness of movies ending up on streaming. Like, I would automatically assume that Furiosa or whatever, that Mad Max movie that came out this past weekend, will be available to stream, like, in a month.
Yeah.
So
too quick to come
almost
to the
too quick, yep. Right. Whereas back in the day, VHS tape was, like, 6 months later or something. It was a long time after the fact. Now, I'll just wait this one out. And then if you even want to watch it then, maybe when you get around to it.
I also think we're just swimming in content. And you can argue that it's diluted it, not everything is great necessarily, but we are swimming in content. If you have two or more streaming services, you got Max and you got Netflix and maybe you got Disney, well, there's tons of stuff on there that you already haven't seen that, maybe you're watching three or four different shows at a time.
Right.
The place that you used to go, except for 4, 6, 12 back in the day, to get content was the movies, to hear these stories. Yep. And now it's widely available in all these other ways. Hope it doesn't go away, but it's something to watch. 8:42 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Tell me, they're starting again. 9:30 today in New York?
Yeah,
9:30
big day
Eastern,
again.
9:30 our time?
Big day again today in New York. So today is when we expect the deliberations to start in the former President Donald Trump hush money trial. They are expected to get the case, the jury is, after instructions from the judge. This after a long day of closing arguments on Tuesday.
Trump's attorney, Todd Blanche, telling jurors they cannot convict Trump based on testimony from the prosecution's key witness, Trump's former fixer, Michael Cohen. Blanche called Cohen the greatest liar of all time, the MVP of liars, and said Cohen is bent on revenge with an axe to grind. Blanche telling the jury this isn't a referendum of your views on President Trump. This is a very easy and quick not guilty verdict.
So that's ABC's Andrew Dimbert. So the defense went first, then the prosecution started, and they tried to make the argument, hey, this isn't only about Michael Cohen. He might be one of the pieces, but he's not the whole thing.
In his final pitch to the jury, which took nearly 5 hours, prosecutor Josh Steinglass downplayed Cohen's role in the case, characterizing Cohen as nothing more than a tour guide through a mountain of evidence. Steinglass argued Trump choreographed a conspiracy and a cover-up in a brazen attempt to pull the wool over voters' eyes. Trump is charged with falsifying business records to conceal a hush money payment to Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election, so voters would never know about their affair, which Trump denies.
So that is what was happening inside the courthouse.
5 hours.
5 hours, yeah.
And that was just the prosecution.
They were done late last night, too. And the judge even said, hey, if I start noticing the jury's losing it, if we've lost the jury, we're going to stop.
You lose me at hour 1.5, maybe. I can't sit through a company meeting upstairs. You've seen that.
I have seen.
I'm ashamed of it, but I'm sorry. Noon hour?
Just doodling just to do anything to keep you awake. But apparently it sounds like, according to reports, the jury stayed attentive for the majority of it. So that was inside. Outside on Tuesday, a little bit different.
Outside the courthouse in Lower Manhattan yesterday, the scene was described by one legal expert as pandemonium.
America!
Trump supporters wearing horns and painted faces, and actor Robert De Niro in a shouting match with hecklers.
Take that stupid hat off. Take that stupid hat off. You're a bunch of clowns.
The chaos unfolding as closing arguments got underway in court.
Can you imagine getting yelled at by Robert De Niro?
And Robert De Niro just... So he held a news conference. I think they got
that off.
There's Tribeca Film Festival stuff taking place, but also the reports indicate that like he was speaking on behalf of the Biden campaign, or at least for. I'm not sure how that was all playing out, but obviously he's a supporter of the president. So he held a news conference, and then he starts getting screamed at, and he's screaming at them, and there's back and forth, and some of it I can't play because. Holy cow, this is what people say to each other. Ooh.
Two miscalculations, if that isn't indeed the case, that the Biden campaign asked him to represent the campaign at the courthouse. Number one, former President Trump has continued to suggest that this is all cooked up by the Biden administration. The Biden DOJ is bringing all these things, and that only served to support
that conspiracy.
Yeah, so why do you serve that up to him? And secondly, Bobby De Niro, then, next thing you know, you're watching on TV... campaign people like nice shouting F-bombs at regular old folks out there protesting. That's not what you wanted that to devolve into.
Yeah, weird. The whole thing was just weird, and but I guess kind of expected. Okay, so the jury will get the case today.
Look like clones.
So what are the options for the jury?
The jury has several options today. They have the option of convicting Trump on all the counts, acquitting him of all of those counts, or delivering a mixed verdict in which he is found guilty of some charges, but not others. And the final option, of course, is a hung jury if they don't come to a decision in that in which the judge could declare a mistrial.
So the judge also was very adamant to point out yesterday that, hey, a conviction doesn't mean prison time. Necessarily, that don't try to make a decision on what you think the punishment will be or could be or is or whatnot. That hey, pull that out of it because he could be convicted and still not sentenced to any prison time.
So that's suggesting that you don't want jurors to sit there and go, "We can't put a former president in prison,
right?"
Or and have that affect
or
how
think that we gotta put him in prison.
Yes.
Yeah, you could go both ways on it, but yes, right. So the judge was adamant about that. No real expectation yet as to when the jury will get the case today. But you would imagine by lunchtime, they'll have it. And then we'll see how long they deliberate.
I remember Wagner used to say this always as a former prosecutor. There's just no way to tell.
Right.
Right. You know, no way to tell that they're or when you ultimately get the word that the verdict is in and then they start bringing everybody back to court. No way to tell if it was an hour and a half, whether that means for sure not guilty or for sure guilt, like this I'd go broke trying to bet on that one way or another.
Well, it's funny, and I did hear one report earlier today saying, oh, if they come back quickly, that means guilty. Yeah. Like, oh, hold on.
That doesn't mean anything.
We'll find out. Time will tell. All eyes, Vince, are on the courthouse there in Norman. All eyes.
So lazy. 852 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Mostly sunny skies today, quiet weather, with a high of 68, bit cooler near the lake, right now at 59 in Milwaukee. Our Wisconsin kids are still alive in the Scripps National Spelling Bee, yes?
Yes, we
both
have
of them,
two.
Right? Middleton and Franklin?
Yes, one from Middleton, an eighth grader from Franklin as well, and they both passed through yesterday spelling some... pretty tough words. Traino. We looked back at some of the words they spelled earlier today.
Traino. TRAINEAU. Traino.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Good. And what was
EAU. Whoa.
So that was you commenting on her spelling of that. She got it right. And then here was another one that had maybe a kind of a little baseball taste to it. Spell this.
Spondy.
Spondy.
S P O N D E E Spondy.
That is correct.
Thank you.
So I was going like Warren Spondy. S P A H.
Yeah, no, there's no Spawn. Warren Spawn in there. So anyway, all of that on the old podcast page for Wisconsin's Morning News.
We did spelling with Tausch today as well.
That was great. Actually, very impressed.
Find out
with
which
Tausch.
Ones that he got right,
yeah.
And how he reasoned himself through. Got an update on the UPAF Ride for the Arch presented by Miller Lite. That's coming up this weekend already. All of it up on the podcast page. Text Vince to 855-616-1620 or listen wherever you get your podcasts. WTMJ's Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi. Up next.